Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. How are we going? Good, that's the way. I'm with Julia. It was so good to see the sun. It was just such a beautiful day, wasn't it? It's awesome. Always talk about the weather. I don't know why I do that, but I did that last time. Nicole told me off last time. She said that I carried... Yeah, would you believe? First time. Yeah. Said I carried on too much at the start, so I'm going to keep it short. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give thanks for the opportunity to be able to come into your house, Lord, in peace, in unity, and explore your word, Lord. Learn more about you. I pray right now there'd be less of us and more of you, Father, as we commit this night to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, I want to talk to you about being uncomfortable. And no doubt right now, most of you are feeling pretty comfortable. You've probably got food in your bellies. You've enjoyed a bit of day in the sun. Maybe you had a picnic. We've got pretty comfy seats here. They've got a bit of padding on them. Everyone's feeling pretty comfy right now, be fair to say. And the reason why I've decided to talk about being uncomfortable is the way I read the scriptures and in preparing for this sermon, I'm not sure that our comfort is always God's number one priority for us in our lives. And I want to unpack that a little bit. I know that sounds a little bit controversial, but I will unpack a little bit further as we go on tonight. And I appreciate your grace in staying with me. You know, there's a lot of things in life that can be uncomfortable, but in my opinion, nothing is more uncomfortable than airline travel. Now, airline travel for me is the epitome of being uncomfortable. Whether it be the food, the recycled air that you know every other person in that capsule is breathing in before you and after you, and not all that is breathed there as well. Proximity to strangers. I don't think there's anywhere else in the world where you would sit that close to a complete stranger rather than being on an airplane. The waiting in lines, the worrying about missing your flight. There's something about catching a plane that is so stressful. It doesn't matter how much preparation you put into it. It doesn't matter how hard you work. You can still miss it. You can just ask my brother about that. He missed a flight recently, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. I don't know whether it's the new luggage requirements we've got these days. You know, everything's so economical with your luggage. You know, it's these bargain price seats. Now you've only got a certain amount of luggage you can bring on board. So you're worrying and you're uncomfortable about how much luggage you can take and whether or not you're going to get stung with an extra fare. You know, I recently found myself at a domestic airport with Nicole. We went on holidays this year and I loathe checking in luggage. And when I used to travel a bit for work, I used to just love the fact that I never checked in luggage. I used to love walking through security and that was it. Check in online, it was seamless. And I hated checking in luggage. And obviously sometimes that's necessary, but if I could ever avoid checking in luggage, I would. Now, since Violet has come along, obviously that's no longer the case. Now, I used to pack my life into this. It was very small, very condensed. Now I'm the guy in the oversized baggage line with a pram, and there's only two types of people in that line. One is men holding prams, and two is surfers with their surfboards. That is it. They're the only two types of people in that line. So things have gotten a lot more uncomfortable as I travel. And me and Nicole were recently traveling, and I must admit, I don't know what happened during the packing stage of this trip, but I got distracted, and I packed too much, and my bag was too heavy. Now, on the flight over to our destination, it didn't get flagged because I didn't get weighed. I didn't know. I don't have scales at home for that, so I didn't know. But I had a fair idea, and I thought that I was within the restrictions or the limitations. But on the way back, I got flagged. And so I had to sit in the middle of the lounge, taking my things out, spreading them all out on the floor and trying to consolidate Nicole and I's baggage. And I had to use some of her space so I wouldn't get stung with this extra fare. And it was miserably uncomfortable having all my personal items on show to the general public in the middle of this lounge. Flying is uncomfortable. But there's nothing more uncomfortable than the seats and the size of the seats. Now, I'm not a particularly short individual. So for me, I don't really think they're taking me into account when they're just deciding how many seats they can fit into a plane. Okay? So whenever I'm getting into a standard coach seat, it seems to be getting smaller and smaller. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just buy the emergency aisle? All right? Spend the extra money, go in the emergency aisle. I couldn't think of anything more uncomfortable than having to tear the door off a plane during an emergency. So for me, they're both uncomfortable. I'll take the more uncomfortable one, which is predictable, which is a small C. Flying is uncomfortable. And then there is the worst one still, which is the screaming baby. And when you go onto the plane, you want to try and make sure you're comfortable without having that noise in your head. I recently also became the guy with the screaming baby on the plane. So that one as well. So we would all agree that plane travel is fairly uncomfortable. And you see, being uncomfortable goes against our natural state. We want to be comfortable. We want to feel comfortable. We feel we deserve to be comfortable in some ways. And it's amazing how much of a priority, that's me in the seat, it's amazing how much of a priority being comfortable has become in our lives. Look at how much money people will spend, even in plane travel, just to be in first class. All they're buying is creature comforts for an extra like $5,000 for an international flight. It's unbelievable. Just to be comfortable. They get there at the same time you do in coach. But what are some of the things that give us comfort? The Snuggie. The Snuggie. One of the most embarrassing products ever made for the public. I'm yet to see one in public, thank goodness. And I've never worn one, but they must be comfortable because they've sold a lot of them. The Snuggie's comfortable. You know, when you get home from work and you're in a suit, taking off that suit and whacking on a pair of your elastic-waisted tracksuit pants is comfortable. Perhaps it's your favourite chair at home. Or lighting a few candles and having a nice hot bath makes you feel comfortable. Look at that chair. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I reckon that'd be expensive. You know, even your own bed is far more comfortable than sleeping in a 5-star hotel. There's just something about being in your own bed that's comfortable. People are now overindulging in comfy activewear out in the street. We all know that activewear was made purposely for being in a gymnasium or in a sporting field, right? It's comfy. Now people are wearing it in cafes. People are addicted to being comfortable. It's all proof for our desire for being comfort. We all love being comfortable because it's the norm. It's what everyone should be expected to be, comfortable. Everything in our modern lives is designed to make things easier for me and you, more accessible, more convenient, more comfortable. Take the latest iPhones, the latest widgets and doobalackies that the IT industry are coming up with. Cars and even fridges now. They're all comfortable. I mean, look at this car. Everything is designed to give us comfort and to give us less stress. But where does being comfortable fit into our Christian walk? This evening we're going to explore and unpack why being comfortable isn't always God's number one priority for us. And why our world is in need of Christians willing to get more uncomfortable for him. I've broken it down into three parts this evening. Denying self, why comfort isn't always God's top priority. Number two, stepping out, when obedience and faith extend our growth. And number three, comfortably uncomfortable, knowing real comfort in Christ. Denying self. So how important is it for us to be comfortable in our Christian walk? Well, we know that God wants good things for us. He wants us to live an abundant life, a life with peace, security and comfort through his will for us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God wants good things for us. He wants good things for our future. He wants us to be secure. But not in our sin or in our complacency. He wants us to find comfort in him rather than comfort in our circumstances. Too often we can find comfort in finances, titles, even our addictions can provide comfort. Some of our relationships, abilities, circumstances and sin can all be comfort crutches in our Christian lives. When we allow worldly comfort to set in and establish strongholds, we can find ourselves on autopilot. When we are comfortable, we can get stuck in sinful habits and patterns that can stifle our relationship with God and obedience in his word. Settling for whatever comes our way and accepting things for how they are, rather than obedience in the way God asks them to be, we can all find ourselves naturally falling into the comfortable aspects of our lives on a daily basis. And it's hard to come against that. Christ calls us to emulate him. This means getting uncomfortable as we follow him. We see in Matthew chapter 16 that we are all challenged to take up our cross daily. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. In verse 24 it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and walk with me.'" When we examine this scripture, we see that Christ is asking us to deny ourselves. When you look at deny in the Greek, it almost means to empty yourself permanently. All the comforts of the flesh, all your self-motives and impulses are to be replaced with Christ. Sounds uncomfortable, doesn't it? The verse finishes with the charge of taking up your cross and walking with Jesus. You know, the idea of carrying a cross is uncomfortable. When you read some commentaries about the crucifixion of Jesus, they say that the cross member alone would have weighed close to 136 kilos. Imagine picking up a 136 kilo piece of timber every day and walking with it. You can see how when Jesus paints this analogy of taking up your cross daily, he's not necessarily saying, get comfortable daily. I believe that Jesus is trying to get us to understand that walking in his shoes isn't always going to be a comfortable journey. You see, we're all called to pick up our cross daily, as uncomfortable as it may seem. Not for works, but obedience in him. So I ask the question tonight, what areas have we become comfortable in? Are we picking up our cross daily, even when it's uncomfortable or inconvenient? As we delve deeper into being uncomfortable for Christ, the message Jesus gives is clear. He wasn't as concerned with people's own personal comfort. In fact, he called many to be uncomfortable with the world they see around them and to set aside comfort as they choose to follow him before anything else. To set aside traditions or what you feel you might want to be and choose him before anything else. All the earthly desires that give us comfort are to come second in life after dedication to Christ. See, we read in Luke about a man who had an uncomfortable conversation with Christ. And he's a man, he's walked up to Jesus, and when you read some commentaries about Luke chapter 9, verse 60, they say that it may have been an eldest son in the family, and most possibly his father's died. And he's come up to Jesus and they have a bit of dialogue. And he's pretty much said, "Jesus, I'm going to come and follow you, but first I want to bury my father. First I want to go home and take care of things. I want to go and get my house in order. Then I'll come and follow you." And Jesus says to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." You see, this man, most likely the eldest son in the family, as I said before, telling Jesus he's going to follow him, gets this answer. And to me, when I read it, burying your father seems fair. Going home and looking after your dad first before you decide to take up your cross and follow Jesus seems fair and reasonable. But Christ challenges him back again. He says, don't get caught up in comfortable traditions. The goal is proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's an uncomfortable challenge. Often we want God to work inside of our comfortable circumstances. I'll just get comfortable first before I follow you. I'll just get A, B, C, and D in order before I follow you. Can I get my affairs in order first before I follow you? My job, my family, my aspirations in my career, my ambitions. You see, as we become comfortable in the flesh, As we become uncomfortable in the flesh, we get comfortable in God. Relationship with Christ and obedience to his scripture isn't always the most convenient or most comfortable option. Quite often when we become followers of Christ, we think it's all going to fall together. I know, you know, there's been certain stages in my walk and with Jesus that I've thought, you know, if I just do this, then A, B, C, and D will fall into place. Or if I just do that, everything will be okay. You know, there'll be no more struggles, no more wrestling with the sin, no more challenges. But we know nothing could be further from the truth. When your eyes are first opened to the gospel, we begin the most exciting and terrifying journey possible. The pursuit of truth in a world full of lies can present some uncomfortable situations for us Christians. But our hope and our confidence is in God, and our relationship is in God, knowing that He is with us every step of the way. Especially as we see a society move further and further away from God and His instruction, we are more and more challenged daily to pick up our cross and follow Him, as uncomfortable as it may seem. So we are called to step out in faith, even when it feels uncomfortable. The second part to this evening is stepping out. And to start into this, I just want to grab, potentially if I could, a volunteer. Now, I reckon I might grab Maddie Burt. You want to come up? Thanks, Matt. Put your hands together for Matt. Now, I like to take my dog for a run. It's a good way of getting her calm and just settling her down a bit now, especially since now she's become, I suppose, last in the family. Now that Violet's come along, she used to sort of be before me and after Nicole, and now she's gone last, which is not too bad. But so she sort of feels a little bit neglected. So I take her for a run, and obviously calms her down. And, you know, exercise is good. We should all be exercising. And when you go to the gym or when you go for a run or you exercise, and you do these activities right, they're really uncomfortable. You know, you're generally pushing yourself and you're generally, you know, putting your body under a bit of stress. You might be gasping for air. You might have muscle soreness. You're sweating. And the challenge or the temptation sometimes is to want to quit, particularly when you're pushing your body, physically. But this evening, I just want to do an analogy with Matt, and I want to grab my prop, which is... Did I bring it up? I didn't bring it up. Sorry, Chris, can you grab my prop? That's it. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Beautiful. Bit of sand on the floor. Sorry, Dad. So this here, what I've got here, is a it's a weight bag, okay? It's a weight that you can use with a few of these in one bag, and you can pretty much do it for sort of resistance exercises. It weighs approximately about 4 kilos. Those of you in the old scale, looking about 8.8 pounds. Is that right, Graham? Yeah? Just looking after you? Yeah. Now your face looks fresh. It looks fresh. Freshest I've seen it for a while. Shame on you, Julia. So about 4 kilos is what we've got here. So it's relatively light. It's not too heavy, okay? Just under a bag of oranges pretty much, right? Now, this should, for a young strapping man like Matt, should be quite easy to hold. Wouldn't be fair to say 4 kilos isn't much, is it?
I'd hope I can hold
it. Yeah, you'd be right, yeah. So what I'm going to get Matt to do is just hold this with one hand. Which hand is your preferred hand? All right, so I'll take your other one.
Either.
Oh, wow, lucky you. Ambidextrous. Hold that close to your chest. That's it there. Now, Matt's holding that quite close to his body. It's only about 4 kilos, and where he's holding it now, it's pretty easy. You could probably hold that there all day, couldn't you? Right? No dramas at all. It's close to his body. He's using a lot of his core muscles in his chest. He's probably activating a few in his back and his shoulder. He's not just relying on his arm, although his arm's holding it, right? Now, if I get Matt to extend that arm out all the way and just hold that there, hopefully Matt's not too strong. This would defeat the purpose of the illustration, but that's okay. As Matt holds that out, he's got his arm fully extended. So we'll see what happens in a few minutes. But as he does so, he's isolating muscles he rarely uses. So now he's not relying so much on all the muscles in his chest and back. He's actually isolating his arm, and he's actually relying on that to hold that 4 kilos outward. As uncomfortable as this is, if he was to do this every day, he would actually build up a lot of strength in that arm. Naturally, with it extended. Now, are you getting sore yet? Yeah, you are. How long do you reckon you could hold that for?
Nah.
Yeah. So you can... I sort of wanted him to drop it, but it's not going to happen. He's too strong. Anyway, thanks, Matt. Good man. Put your hands together for Matt. You see, in the same way, when we extend ourselves away from our comfort zone, We rely on Christ and less on us. And in our obedience, we grow and stretch in our faith in the same way our muscles do. See, at times it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to want to extend ourselves. We want to stay safe. We want to stay safe and close to home with what we know, with what's easy. But when we extend ourselves, we're being obedient to God's word. When we challenge ourselves, we're being obedient to God's word. As uncomfortable as it is. But it's in our discomfort that we grow. We grow in God. When we extend ourselves into uncomfortable positions and situations, we are forced more to rely on God and less on our understanding and control. Tonight I ask you the same question that I asked myself as I prepared this sermon. What areas of your life are you too comfortable in? Where can we extend ourselves in our Christian attitudes? What areas of your life are you willing to make uncomfortable for Christ?
That was Matt.
My final point, comfortably uncomfortable, is that this is the interesting thing, is that we all desire real comfort, which is peace, security, and God's love. And the ironic thing with this is that we can actually never find true comfort outside of Christ. God is the only true comforter. Everything else is window dressing. In our obedience, we are comfortable in the knowledge of God's will for us. When we choose to let go of earthly comforts and face an uncomfortable world, we are obedient in Christ. I found this awesome quote by C.S. Lewis, which really succinctly covers what I'm trying to get across, and it's from his book, Mere Christianity. I just want to make sure it's here. We've got a bit of a mix-up on those, sorry. And it starts with this. Of course, I quite agree that the Christian religion is, in the long run, a thing of unspeakable comfort. But it does not begin in comfort. It begins in the dismay I've been describing. And it is no use at all trying to go on to that comfort without first going through that dismay. In religion, as in war and everything else, comfort is the one thing you cannot get by looking for it. I want to draw attention to this last bit. If you look for truth, you may find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will not get neither comfort nor truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin with, and in the end, despair. When we pursue truth in our obedience to Christ and the way Christ wants us to live our lives, we find comfort. When we place self on the comfort throne, we miss the truth. When we seek the truth, we find comfort in it. So what are some of the things that Christ calls us to do, uncomfortable as they may seem? Love your enemies. Uncomfortable. Caring for the sick can be uncomfortable. Standing up for truth can be uncomfortable at times. Protecting the weak, the vulnerable, the marginalized can be uncomfortable. Loving the unloved can be uncomfortable. Turning the other cheek is uncomfortable. Forgiving times 77 is uncomfortable. So we're challenged, each one of us, to extend ourselves even when it is uncomfortable, in the same way Christ did before us. To be relentless in the pursuit of truth and obedience. Then we can find real comfort in Christ and the lives he has prepared for each one of us. We find real comfort in Christ, and he walks every single step with us. When extending ourselves in faith, God is with us. It's not in our strength, but God's. And I love this verse from Isaiah 40, and it's something that's always I've found so encouraging and so empowering whenever I've been in a challenging moment where something might be uncomfortable, where I don't want to step out in faith or extend myself outside my comfort zones. And it starts here in 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I think about that hope and the beautiful sermon that Hamish brought last week on hope. And it's so encouraging to know that you are not alone in these moments. And if I can just ask the worship teams to come up quickly, that'd be great. Sally, thank you. I just want to close in this. Where have we become too comfortable? What areas of our life can we open up and allow God to work in? Where can we extend ourselves? It could be as simple as a conversation with a neighbour that may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Writing someone a letter of encouragement, you may never have done that before. Praying for a sick friend or a family member, we think about the stuff that Serge does. You know, I don't mean to talk rudely of Serge, but Serge isn't anyone special. He's the same as everyone else. He's one of God's children. Serge is just being obedient. It could be standing up for truth. Only with God are we able to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I work in a couple of factories and I'm privileged enough to manage a couple of them. And one of them is a fiberglass factory. And I had a staff member there, a nice young lady. And she was one of the head fiberglassers there. And I noticed that she started having a few sick days and she wasn't rocking up to work and was going missing a little bit, was on her phone a lot. And I could see she wasn't herself, and whenever I talked to her, you know, here and there, periodically throughout the week, she wasn't quite herself, and you guys can start to play if you want. And eventually came to a bit of a head where I had to have a critical conversation with her, and we're sitting in the break room, and I said, Missy, I said, what's going on? You know, you haven't been yourself, you've been missing from work, you don't seem attentive in your job, what's going on? And she just started crying, and she said, Aaron, I just found out one of my daughters, and she's from a divorced relationship, and she's pretty much a single mum trying to raise three daughters, and she works as well. And she said, oh, look, I just found out one of my daughters at school has just been targeted by a pedophile ring. And for the last 6 months, unbeknownst to her, a daughter had been online and had been engaging with this individual online. And the police were involved, and it was a really bad situation, you know. And I just sat there, and I just thought to myself, man, you immediately start to think, how does this even happen? You know, and the first thing you think is, you never think this is going to happen to someone you know. And she was distraught. The school were involved, and they were talking about all sorts of things and back and forth, and it was a tough position. And it was an uncomfortable situation. And I can tell you, I can think to numerous times in my life where I have stayed comfortable and I have not done the thing that I should have done, that is extend myself outside of my own comfort zone. And in that moment, I just felt pressed to pray for her. And I'd never, ever, ever explained my Christianity to her. She really didn't know much about my personal life. And I just said, hey, Missy, look, do you mind if I pray for you? And I prayed for her and afterwards, she said, hey, look, I'm so grateful that you did that. And it turned this situation that I thought was going to be so uncomfortable, that was going to be so insurmountable, that was going to be so, they were going to think I was silly, I was going to compromise myself in the workplace. All this crazy stuff was going through my head. But you know what? They're just people. They're just people crying out for love. They're just people crying out for us to show them some light, to show them some salt, to be God's hands and feet with those around us. And if we're just willing to get uncomfortable for Christ every now and again, who knows what's possible?